Well, first of all, we want to say thank you for your faithful support and prayers. And also I want to say that it's already been a blessing to be here with you in the Sunday school and the singing. Amazing. Yes, it's been a blessing. I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John 15. And here we find probably what is the most important chapter in the Bible on the Christian life. John 15, I believe it's a chapter that we need to read and reread and seek to live what it says. I would like for you to look at verse 1. John 15, 1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Look at that word, true. On two other occasions in the Gospel of John, this word true was applied to Jesus. You may recall in John chapter 1, he was called the true light. Yeah. Yeah. And then in chapter 6, 32, he was called the true bread. Now he says, "I am the true vine." And there is a reason for that. You may also recall that in the Old Testament, God called Israel his vine, his vineyard, his vine. You know, we read in Isaiah chapter 5 that God planted Israel as a vineyard and expected fruit. In Isaiah chapter 5, we're told that the Lord planted a vineyard and that he had fenced it, cleared the stones and made a wine press on it and built a tower. He had given it every possible advantage that there was, and he expected grapes, but it gave wild grapes. And then he went on to say in that chapter that without a doubt, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. God planted Israel as his vineyard, but they disappointed him. They did not measure up to what he expected. And so when the Lord Jesus came, he replaced Israel as the true vine. Jesus, now we read, is the true vine. In other words, God planted Israel, but they did not do well. Now God has planted another vineyard, not the church. The church is not the vineyard, but Jesus is the true vine. And we need to know it. We need to know this. They also needed to know this that we read in here in chapter 15 took place on the night that Jesus was betrayed, and on the next day he was going to be crucified. And that's one of the last things that he said to his followers was what we just read, that he is the true vine and that they were the branches. Look with me now at verse 2, where he now begins to speak about the branches. In verse 2, John 15, 2, "And every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." See, I have here the verse written, but I think it's kind of like it's not the actual test. I want to read it from the Bible. Here we see that it starts talking about the branches, how he wants, of course, us branches to bear fruit. And when we start bearing fruit, he says that he will purchase us, that we may bear more fruit. Now in this, I also want you to see the difference between what the Lord is doing here and what he did in the time of the Old Testament. In the times of the Old Testament, Israel, the whole house of Israel was the vineyard, as we have seen. And when the house of Israel did not do good, God judged the entire house of Israel. Now, because in those situations when God judged, there were a few people who were doing good. For example, when God sent judgment to the nation of Israel, Daniel was doing good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were doing good. And Ezekiel also was doing good. And Jeremiah, he was doing good. They were living for the Lord, obeying his commandments. But you know what? They were taking captives like everyone else. Now, this is what we need to see here. In the Old Testament, God dealt with the whole nation. And when the majority of the nation went wrong, the whole nation was judged. But today, God is dealing with individuals. And so it is not a matter of whether or not the whole church gets right with God. It's about whether you and me, by ourselves, get right with God or not. You see, he's putting the emphasis on the branch. Notice how he makes it personal in verse 2. He says, every branch. It's personal. That means just one. It's singular. You and I need to be concerned about ourselves. Now, it's one thing to be concerned about the nation. It's one thing to be concerned about the whole church. And I'm not against that. But if you and I are not careful, we can become more or less careless about how we are individually. And we can worry about how everybody is doing in general, and that doesn't do a lot of good. Because, you know, there has never been a whole group of people that got right with the Lord. It's always been individuals, the individual that get right with the Lord, one at a time. So this is a personal matter. I want you to see the emphasis, the individual emphasis here. Every branch in me. And then I want you to see the importance, of course, of bearing fruit. The Lord has saved you and me, if you're saved, and he has united us to the Lord Jesus Christ with one sole purpose, which is to bear fruit. And we see the importance of fruit here in verse 2. In the first place, God shows us how important it is to bear fruit when he says that if you do not bear fruit, I am going to take you away. It says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Amen. Every branch. Now the problem with us Christians many times is that we think that we have the right to live how we want and do what we want to do and get what we want to get and be what we want to be. And we completely forget the fact that when Jesus saved us and we were joined to Jesus Christ as a vine has the branches are joined to the vine, and the Bible teaches us how we are put in Christ when we are saved. Well, we forget that the reason why God did that was with a purpose, and it was so that we might bear fruit. We might bear fruit. Now, when Christians forget that and they start doing their own thing and forget God's purpose for them, then there are problems. For example, we could go back or go to the book of Acts in chapter 5 and read about Ananias and Sapphira. You remember them? And as far as we can see, those two people were saved, the man and his wife. They were saved people. They were part of the church. There's no indication. The Bible doesn't even hint that they were lost. Apparently, they were people who claimed to be Christians. And yet, they were not involved in bearing fruit. The Bible makes it clear in Acts 5 that they were interested in one thing. Brother, they were interested in money. And when everyone else sold what they had and gave the money to the Lord, they sold what they had and kept it and gave some of it, and they lied to the Lord. Now, what were they doing? They were not bearing fruit. They were trying to get money for themselves, and do you know what the Lord did? You remember in Acts 5, brother, the Lord took them away. That is a clear illustration of what he just said in verse 2. The warning is that if we do not bear fruit, he will remove us, some of us. Why? Because he wants us to see the importance of bearing fruit. That is why we are here. Christians, we are here for that. We're not here to impress people. We're not here to win friends and influence people. We're not here to get things. We're not here to leave a mark on this world. We are here to bear fruit. Amen. To bear fruit. Notice how else he shows us the importance of it. Look again, please, with me at verse 2. He not only shows the importance of bearing fruit by removing or telling us that he will remove those that do not bear fruit, but he says in the last part of verse 2, everyone that bears fruit, he will cleanse it. Every branch that bears fruit, he purchased it that it may bring forth more fruit. More fruit. You know, the Lord is interested in more. You know, none of us, in the light of this verse, none of us have done enough. Right. Whatever we've done, the Lord wants more. He wants more. Whatever we've done, he wants more. And when we start trying to do something for the Lord and have some success, the Lord cleanses us that we can do more. More. Now remember this. A branch on a vine has no other purpose than to bear fruit. A branch on a vine is not like a branch of a tree. A tree branch can serve various purposes. It can help provide shade. Trees are good for other things besides fruit. They provide shade. Sometimes they provide firewood. But you know, you cannot get much firewood from vines. Really. There's not enough there to burn. A vine is good for nothing except for to bear fruit. To bear fruit. It only has one purpose, and that's what we have here. We have Christians to bear fruit. And the Lord wants fruit, and he wants more fruit. And when we begin to do a little, he will cleanse us. Now, how is he going to cleanse our lives? Well, he does it by his word. Look with me in verse 3, please, if you would. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's how they were clean in the first place. When they were saved, it was by the word of God. Amen. You know, in Ephesians 5, the Bible talks about how the Lord saved us and purified us in the washing of water by the word. When you were saved, the Lord cleansed you. He cleansed me. He washed us from our sins, says the Bible. And in Titus 3:5, it tells us that it was by the washing of regeneration. When you're saved, you're washed. You get a good and complete bath. You're clean. But you know, after you're saved, after we are saved, we get dirty again. We could go back in John to chapter 13 when the Lord Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And then he told them what their problem was in verse 10 of chapter 13. I can read it for you. Jesus said to them, he who is washed, and here it means he who has received a full bath, needs nothing but wash your feet. Your feet. You know, let's say if you had gone down to the creek and take a bath and you were really clean, you got really rid of every speck of dirt. When you came home barefooted, when you got home before you going to bed, you would have to wash yourself. Your feet. That's what he's talking about here. When we are saved, we receive a complete bath. The Lord washes you, leaving you white as snow, the Bible says. But when we begin again to move in the world and come into contact with sin, we become contaminated and need to be cleansed. One of the promises that I remember memorizing after I got saved was 1 John 1:9. You know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, here in John 15:2, He tells us that He Himself cleanses us or purges us by His word. You know, once we begin to bear some fruit, the Lord cleanses us through the word. Psalm 119 verse 9, with what shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, by keeping your word. What I'm trying to get you to see is that if you have ever borne any fruit in your Christian service, the Lord wants you to bear more. How can you bear more? How can you be more fruitful than you have ever been? Well, that is what that's what we're trying to find out, right? The first thing we need to see is that you have to get in the Word. You have to get in the Word. You have to get in the Word because it is through the Word that He will cleanse us so that we can bear more fruit. We have to get in the Word. Let me ask you to look at other verses. Well, not for the sake of time, but you could see how the emphasis in this chapter, at least about seven or eight times, is in the Word, in the Word. In verse 3, in verse 7, in verse 10, in verse 11, 14, and 20 and 22, the emphasis, and also in verse 25, the emphasis is in the Word of God. If you and I are going to bear more fruit than in the past, we have to be in the Word. We have to let the Word cleanse us. Now, this is the question you need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself too. What has the Word of God cleansed out of your life lately? You see, the problem with most of us is this. We think we have already arrived to where we need in this matter of separation from the world. We think that because we do not do certain things which we have already resolved at some point in the past, we think that the matter of separation is resolved, is already taken care of. But that we don't need to think about it anymore, and we forget the fact that God wants more. God wants more. Amen. Listen, God wants more. No matter what you and I have done, He wants more. How are we going to bear more? Well, letting the Word clean something up from us. The fact is that there is something in all of our lives that the Word has to cleanse. There's something. We cannot assume that we have arrived. No. There's something in all of our lives that the Word has to cleanse so that we can bear more fruit. More fruit. Now, if the Word hasn't cleansed up anything in your life lately, brother, that means that we are not growing. We are not growing. We are stagnant. We are standing still in our Christian life. If the Bible is not correcting you, changing and cleaning you, how long has it been since the Bible did this in your life? Well, if you can answer that question, you will know how long it has been since you have grown up a little. Because that's what all about. Oh, how we need to go back to this chapter and think about these verses and say, Lord, I certainly need to do more. That's what you want. And in order for me to do more, I have to be cleaner than I've ever been. Oh, let me ask you to do this. When you read your Bible, don't just read words. Don't just try to fulfill your Bible daily, your daily Bible reading, but as you read the Word, pray, Lord, cleanse me. I want to be a little cleaner than what I have been. Then we will be able to bear more fruit, more fruit. That is the first thing. To bear more fruit, we have to let the Word cleanse something out of our lives so that we can do more. But then notice in verse 4 how this word abide begin to be emphasized. Now the word abide is a very important word in this chapter. I'm sure you know this. And this word carries the idea of course, remaining, continuing, going on. And this idea is found 12 times in this chapter alone. 12 times. The idea of abiding. Now, the Lord is trying to convey to you and me, in verse 4, let's read it. Abide in me, and I am you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. The first thing that the Lord wants to tell you and me is that we need to be abiding. We need to abide. And that's another way of saying we need to keep going. That's another way of saying be faithful. Be faithful. You see, this idea of abiding means to go on with it. Go on. Be the same. Be the same. Continue. Our problem is that our Christian lives are like a roller coaster. It's like this, right? We get up and then we get down. Something lifts us up and then we fall again. We get excited and commit ourselves to the Lord in something, but we do not comply with it. Our Christian lives are like we're not abiding. That's why we don't bear fruit, because we're not abiding. Or that is the reason why we don't bear as much fruit as we should. Or that's why we don't bear it now. We used to bear it in the past, but not now, because we're not abiding. The emphasis is on faithfulness. Now, notice one more emphasis in verse 4. Not only did he say abide, but he said, abide in me and I in you. So, in order for me to emphasize what needs to be emphasized here, let me tell you what the Lord did not say. He did not say here, abide in the church. He did not say, abide in the ministry. He did not say, abide with other Christians. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. No. But listen, what I'm trying to get across to you is that it's possible for a Christian to abide in the church, be in all the services of the church, and never bear any fruit. It's possible for a Christian to associate with another Christians all the time and never bear any fruit. But it's not possible to abide in Christ and not bear fruit. That's not possible. You see, I have heard of some people who have apparently all of the sudden fell into deep sin. And these people, they were abiding in the church and associating with God's people and even involved in doing the work of the gospel at the very moment that when they fell in sin. Now, how did they do that? Listen, staying or abiding in the church won't keep you. That will not keep you from adultery or any other sin. Staying with God's people won't keep you. But I'll tell you what it will. Abiding in Christ will do it. Abiding in Christ. He's the vine. We are the branches. You see the difference? Sometimes we substitute Jesus for the church, And sometimes we substitute Jesus for other Christians, and he will not take that. He said he's jealous. He's jealous with a godly zeal, the Bible says. And we need to have that basic communion and fellowship with him. Amen. Abide in me and I in you. That is what he is emphasizing. He's trying to make you and me see, brother, the secret of all this, the secret is that personal and continuous communion with him and he with us. It's walking with the Lord. Walking with the Lord. Not on a hit and miss way or basis, not. Continuing, abiding. Because if not, we will not bear fruit. Now, if we are consistent, we will bear fruit. But if we are unstable, we will not bear fruit. Do you see how it says in that in verse 5? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now the next thing we want to emphasize regarding bearing fruit is the matter of consistency or stability. We have spoken of the word in verse 3, but now in verse 4, we talk about consistency, abiding. It says, if you do not abide, you cannot bear fruit. You will not be able to do it. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much effort you put in, if you do not practice consistency in your communion with the Lord, you cannot bear fruit. The Lord Jesus is speaking to you and me right here. He's saying, listen, there's only one thing you need to do in this matter of bearing fruit, and that is just get in and keep going. Abide day after day. Abide. Be faithful. Continue. If you don't, you won't bear any fruit. He said, you cannot do anything unless you abide. You cannot do it. Our problem is that we don't believe it. You know, we think that we can waste our time, backslide, be selfish and do nothing. And then we think we can take the Bible and tuck it under our arm and go to work for the Lord and do great things. And of course, that doesn't work. We cannot do it. It won't work. We think sometimes, or we assume that we can live selfish lives. And then all of the sudden, oh, someone in my family is lost. He's going to hell. I'll get on my knees and pray for him and he'll get saved. It doesn't work that way, brother. You cannot do anything like that. That's what Jesus said. Let's read it again in verse 4, please. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Do you see the emphasis is on faithfulness. Oh, how many times we want to just give up, quit. That's the devil there. Why don't you quit up? Why don't you quit? You never amount to anything as a Christian. Why don't you just leave it? And we're tempted. Or sometimes when we fall, How much time we let go before we get right with the Lord. No, the emphasis is here on faithfulness. You know, and of course, this is said to his disciples. If you have not received Christ as your Savior, the one who died on a cross for your sins and my sins too, you're not his disciple yet, but you know what? Today can be the day of your salvation. Amen. Today. Not tomorrow. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. It's today. It's now. Don't let the devil mislead you, saying, oh, you have plenty of time, you know, you don't want to embarrass in front of people. And no. It's what's on the scale is the your eternal life. I wonder if you have ever received the Lord as your Savior. Oh, there won't be any time better than this to do it. You're among friends, and oh, we would love to see you take that step.
Amen.
And for us Christians, so like I said, oh, how we need to go back to this chapter, read and reread it, and seek to live what it says. God bless you, dear people. And again, thank you very much for your support and prayers. And we'll be praying for you that God may continue to keep you and continue to bless you. Thank you.